Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, welcome back. I hope you're doing well. We are going to be doing another Theology Thursday today. My buddy Pastor Chad Harvey from RFA Church here in Raleigh is with me in the studio. And so we're going to spend most of the show today talking about powers and principalities, something he preached on just last Sunday, which was incredible and mind-boggling, but also incredibly helpful to understand what the spiritual realities are that are going on around the world geographically in different spheres of life. Government, politics, COVID-19, BLM, all that kind of stuff. But before we do that, Pastor Rob McCoy, who's a good friend of mine, we went to Israel together last fall. He's out in California, Godspeak, Calvary Chapel Church out in Thousand Oaks, California. One of the few pastors out in California that is standing up against the government orders out there to not meet. Rob and his church have decided to meet according to the word of the Lord, and they're dragging him into court, and all kinds of things are happening out there. Rob was on just a few weeks ago. We did a Theology Thursday on dual citizenship, which was awesome. Charlie Kirk was able to call in for a few minutes there at the end. But Pastor Rob McCoy, welcome back, bro. How are you?
I'm well. It's good to hear your voice.
You as well. Yes, I'm not after you for anything. So I'm on the right side of the conversation. So give us a little update. What's going on there? What you guys decided to do? I know you were in court this week, and there's a lot of news. Obviously, getting a lot of interviews and talking about it. So just bring us up to date. What's happening?
Sure. So we've been wide open as a church since May 31st. No social distancing. No masks. And we decided to do that after Governor Newsom embraced the Black Lives Matter protest, hundreds of thousands of people, shoulder to shoulder, no masks, and condoned it and supported it. And when we were looking at the numbers, we've done 133 live stream broadcasts, one every night at 7 p.m. We've had no less than seven doctors, two psychologists. We've gone through the county numbers. And we didn't make this decision willy-nilly. Our death rate in our county is 1/100th of 1%.
Jeez.
And we've tested 15% of our entire population of our county. So the numbers aren't going to change. If you do polling or projected data, you know how that works. And even for those who've tested positive, 80% of them didn't even know they had it. They went in to have a colonoscopy and they had to be tested, and they were told they had COVID, but they had no symptoms. Most of the folks don't have symptoms. But of the 8,000 that have tested positive, the death rate for those is still less than 1%. And there were three county supervisors that were upset that we were not abiding by the mask and social distancing. Even though we have ionization machines and UV lights, they wanted us shut down. So they knew they wouldn't get the support of the sheriff or the other supervisors, so they voted to acquire county funds to hire an attorney to seek an emergency temporary restraining order from a judge. And they found a judge who would do it, and he granted it. And we didn't comply with it. And I had a hearing this week to establish my contempt hearing, which was supposed to be Friday. And they beefed up the request to the new judge by saying we want the judge to grant that armed officers would be required to enforce this restraining order. And they had named not only me, but 1,000 congregants or visitors, unnamed. And they wanted the contempt hearing to be Friday. Well, the judge shut down their request for officers to enforce it, and the judge shut down my contempt hearing for this Friday. He postponed it to the 21st of this month. And just to let everyone know, we haven't had a single case of COVID in our church, not one. And our zip code where our church is located, 91320 in California and within the county, and this is the county numbers. You can see it on VCEmergency.com. Yeah. That's where they post all the numbers. Of all the residential regions in the last 14 days, our zip code has the lowest number of positive cases.
Jeez.
In the county for residential regions.
And
but
so other than... Yeah, and then so other than the math and the science and the facts, which apparently don't matter, for you guys deciding to stay open, to meet in person, what's the charge there? Because other people are saying, well, Romans 13, you know, you're not submitting to the governing authorities. So why open? Why stay open? Why defy the government order? And then where does it go from here?
You know, we were I wasn't permitted to speak, but the current judge, Judge O'Neill, posed a question to my counselor, Attorney Robert Tyler, and said, what about the second greatest commandment? And he invoked it, which was kind of cool, and everyone was tuning in and heard it. And my attorney didn't hear me, said, I'm sorry, Your Honor. And he said, why don't you ask your pastor to help you understand the second greatest commandment? So it was an order, as far as I'm concerned, from the judge, so I took time to do it. And if you give me permission, I'll read my response to the judge. Hopefully it will be read on August 21st.
Yeah, you got a little time. Go fast.
I'll be quick. Your Honor, thank you for invoking the second greatest commandment, giving me an opportunity to educate my counsel on its meanings and responsibilities and how to fulfill it. Below are the words I instructed him according to your order. Mr. Tyler, Judge O'Neill is correct that we are commanded to love our neighbor. Let me explain what that means. My heart breaks for those who have lost loved ones to this horrific virus. One life lost to this virus is one too many. But to love your neighbor goes beyond feeling and requires action. We as a church have ministered to families that have lost loved ones to this virus, cared for them even though they didn't attend our church. This is to love your neighbor. When we realize the virus has a 99% survival rate in our county that disproportionately affects the elderly and those with comorbidities, we have continually brought groceries to those who need to be quarantined and run errands for them daily. This is to love your neighbor. But what I share now is the most difficult and costly example of what it means to love your neighbor. In the immense challenge of government intrusion of our personal freedoms created by a virus that has this survival rate in our county, many families now go hungry due to forced unemployment. Many neighbors die alone without family members advocating for them in the hospital. Many special needs children now miss their therapies. Our neighbors with cancer and other diseases now miss life-saving treatments and surgeries. Our most vulnerable neighbors, the abused women and children, now suffer in quarantine with their abusers. Our neighbors now have had to forfeit their businesses and livelihoods, of which 60% will never reopen in our county because our county government's unprecedented actions. I'll go quickly. I won't read it all. I'll just go down to this part. Our neighbors now work from home while homeschooling their children, while teachers get paid and parents do their jobs while still having to pay taxes from their depleted incomes. Our neighbors are demeaned by a government that would decide who is essential and who is not. Mm-hmm. And our neighbors are now faced with what they are calling a new normal, but instead it's by social distancing and forced masks, but is now an Orwellian dystopia. How do we love these neighbors? And this is how I conclude. Our church is choosing to stand for them. We love them and are willing to stand in their defense against the government that threatens to arrest us and close our church. We love our neighbors and are before you today. I'll leave it be. I hear the music, but
yeah, it's all right. Yeah, that's awesome. Rob, we're going to keep praying for you. We'll keep talking. God bless you, brother, for standing strong. We're all standing with you. We'll talk again real soon, okay? Sorry about that.
Thanks, Steve. See you, buddy.
All right, pal. Bye. God bless you. Talk to you later. Be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Theology Thursday today with Pastor Chad Harvey, RFA Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina, rfachurch.org. And you were asking me about this. You knew about Rob McCoy when you came in here. Then we're going to start talking about powers and principalities today. But what'd you think about that?
That was incredible. Man, I loved his letter, Steve. I wish you had more time to listen to that whole thing because that's what I keep getting. You know, Pastor Chad, if you loved your neighbor, you would shut your church down. Pastor Chad, if you loved your neighbor, you'd make everybody wear masks. So that's what's been thrown at us. I love his take, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, if CDC is now saying there are more suicide deaths during this COVID season than COVID deaths, and so I do think Rob is onto something, man. This is his way of loving his neighbor. I loved it.
Yeah, it was a really powerful way of putting that. It's funny that they asked and brought that up about the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. But it comes down to that point where, like here in North Carolina, where there was a lawsuit. Pastor Ron Beatty out of the Winston-Salem area brought that lawsuit. Thank God. One, so that put a stay on the governor's orders that churches couldn't gather. But if that had not happened, at some point, what would you have done?
Well, I'm with Doug Wilson on this. I don't know if you're familiar with Doug Wilson out west, but he calls this a test run for tyranny.
Yeah.
And I really do believe that that's what's happening. And I do think that if we give the government an inch, they'll take a mile. So I do not judge other pastors, what Jesus is telling them to do. Man, they've got to talk to the Lord and do whatever the Holy Ghost tells them to do. with me personally praying and seeking God's face, I would have to say, had this not happened, I love the governor, I honor him, I respect him, but my, like MacArthur, my higher allegiance is for Jesus.
Yeah.
And so we've got to open up.
Yeah, we got to open up. Yeah, and we'll see as this continues to unfold, because they did bring him into court, and they are still threatening to arrest him and cite every member of his church.
Yeah,
so we'll
man,
see
wow.
What happens. I'll talk to him again early next week, and we'll see what happens. So this past Sunday, you were preaching out of 1 Corinthians, then you jumped over to Deuteronomy, and we're talking about powers and principalities. It was a riveting sermon. It was awesome. And by the way, if you're here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area, and you're ready to get back to a church, RFA is one of the churches that's open, okay? So rfachurch.org is the website. But that was it was an awesome message. It was great teaching. For a lot of people, I think, we're not used to thinking in terms of the spiritual realities that are behind pretty much everything. So yeah. Just talk about how you ended up there, because you went from 1 Corinthians to Deuteronomy, talking about powers and principalities and the sons of God. So yeah. Just unpack that a little bit.
Let's bigger picture here. Nachmanides, he was a Jewish scholar that lived in the 1300s. He said his study of Genesis showed him that there were 10 dimensions, only 4 of which can be known by human beings. And it's interesting, physicists like Max Tegmark and Brian Green are starting to see that there are multiple dimensions out here. I do believe there's a spiritual dimension that is bigger, more powerful than we could ever imagine. And so Paul, in 1 Corinthians 10, is warning Christians. He said, look, don't go be part of pagan ceremonies. Because when you go to pagan ceremonies, he says, they're sacrificing to demons, not to God. In doing that, Paul, as a Hebrew, is actually quoting Deuteronomy 32. And in Deuteronomy 32, it says this, that at the Tower of Babel, God divided the nations according to the number of what he calls Beni Elohim, the sons of God. That term, sons of God, is used multiple times in the Old Testament to talk about high-level spiritual principalities, demons, angels, Beni Elohim. So I want you to think about this. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 says to the people at Corinth, don't go to a pagan temple because you are sacrificing to demons, not to God. He's taken them back to Deuteronomy 32 and says these are the principalities that when God divided the nations at the Tower of Babel, he put these Beni Elohim, one over each nation. I believe there's one over every city, one over principalities and geographical areas. And so Paul is giving us just a peek into that unseen realm
yeah.
and saying there is in our geographical areas principalities, powers who have been assigned over every one of these nations, cities, geographical areas. Does
yeah,
that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
It's kind of a circuitous deal, but if you understand Paul's talking as a Hebrew scholar, he's taking us back to Deuteronomy 32. God divided the nations, and he put a Beni Elohim. He put a supernatural principality over every one of these.
Yeah, and so as you look at that, you look at the Old Testament or New Testament, I think this might be more of a challenge in the Western Church, that I think we gloss over a little bit.
Yeah.
We've been numb to it. It hasn't been preached that much. Kind of the spiritual realities, pull the veil back.
Yeah.
And the Old Testament and the New Testament are showing Jesus is engaging demonic spirits all the time. That's a big part of his ministry. We see it all throughout the Old Testament. And I think that we've lost sight of that. So when we look around, we go, oh, there's communist China. There's things going on in India. There's Islam. There's Hinduism. There's Mormonism. There's Christianity. We see what's going on with BLM. We see what's going on in COVID. We see the Great Reset, which I did a show on the other day, which is all about a globalist move to completely reset the way that the world operates, both structurally, societally, governmentally, even loans, like resetting the whole thing.
Yeah.
And behind all that, we sit there and go, wow, this is crazy. But behind all that, there's actually order. I think we could say that.
No, there is. And Steve, here's a challenge. We don't realize that we are children of the naturalistic David Hume, those guys, a worldview that really started developing in a strong way in the 1700s, actually a little bit earlier in the Enlightenment. David Hume comes along, talks about naturalism. And so now reality is what can be seen, touched, tested in a test tube, you know, measured in a laboratory. We Christians, we don't realize we in the West have that mentality. The Bible does not have a naturalistic mentality.
Yeah.
The Bible is supernatural in origin. And it's kind of interesting. Members of my church, RFA, who come from Nigeria. I have doctors from Nigeria. I've got lawyers from East Africa. I've got people in my church who are brilliant people, earned degrees, but have a supernatural mentality. They understand the real, you know, what we can see, touch, but they are also open to the supernatural. Here in the West, we don't seem to have that combination. But in the East, there is an understanding that what we can see and measure is real, but there's also an unseen realm that is just as real. I wish we as followers of Jesus Christ in the Western world were as open to followers of Christ more in African and the Eastern world.
I wish we were as open to it as the Bible is.
As the Bible, that's it. I don't want to go any farther than the Bible, right. But I don't want to draw short of what the Bible teaches.
Yeah, and so as we look around, that's why, you know, like socialism. I did the show yesterday on socialism. Socialism's anti-Christian. It's an atheistic mindset. There's all kinds of things about socialism. And we look at that and tend to think, okay, well, that's an earthly system. It's Karl Marx and Lenin. It's communism. It's Russia. It's India used to be socialist. It's Venezuela. But I look at these things now and go, okay, there are spiritual forces behind those things.
Absolutely.
Especially when we talk about fallen angels, we're talking about demons. But I see that all over the place now.
Yeah. No. And Jesus said it this way. He said, let me help you out. If you're not for me, you're against me. If this is not of the kingdom of God, then it's of the kingdom of darkness. And Steve, if you look historically at what demons did, we see this in the Old Testament. We see this in the New Testament. Demons and these principalities would tempt people to do three things. Number one, slaughter their babies. We see that in the Old Testament, where demonic principalities standing behind the god Baal and Asherah, these demonic principalities would, number one, tempt people to slaughter their babies. Number two, to mutilate, harm their own bodies. We see that even today in pagan cultures.
Sure, absolutely, yep.
And then number three, engage in deviant, rampant sexuality. I mean, this has gone back for thousands of years. America is not immune to that. What are the demons telling us to do today? Number one, slaughter our babies. Number two, harm ourselves.
Check.
Suicide. Self-mutilation is huge today. And then number three, engage in rampant, deviant sexuality. We like to think that we have moved beyond our caveman ancestors. It's the same thing, pattern that we see generation after generation.
Yeah, and I think we look at that and just go, oh, it's human sin. It's autonomy. But there's more to it than that. And so as when we come back from the break, I want to look at where do we see this kind of manifesting itself around the world in the modern context. We'll look at different religions, because you think that was the angel Moroni that met with Joseph Smith out in the woods somewhere in the hills of Pennsylvania. It wasn't.
Yep.
That was a power and a principality.
Yep.
People say Allah met with Muhammad in a cave. And I always say, no, that was Satan.
Yep.
We're going to keep talking about that when we come back right after this.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday. Back today with our good friend, Pastor Chad Harvey, RFA Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina, rfachurch.org. By the way, if you go to RFA, or if you want to go check out RFA, be sure to say hello. I've run into a lot of people there in the last 4 or 5 weeks, which has been Gina and I. But Gina was fighting back tears the first time we came to RFA about 5 weeks ago, Chad. Because neither one of us, it's one of those things, like, you don't really know what you're missing until you get it back. So that first Sunday back at RFA, and we don't normally go to RFA, but we were both amazed of the impact of corporate worship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think either one of us realized just how powerful it was until we didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, we got used to doing everything online, blah, 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 blah. But when we came back in, Gina said throughout the service, she was struggling with tears the whole time.
Wow.
Because
and
it was so powerful.
Now, we didn't freak you guys out. I thought, oh, boy, here they go.
No, because, you know, you didn't bring out any snakes.
No.
Or any animal sacrifice, nothing crazy like that. Anyway,
right.
It's been awesome. So if you go to RFA Church and join us there, please say hello if you happen to see me. But we were talking about powers and principalities today, which we see throughout the Old and the New Testament. So I want to make sure everybody understands who are the players.
Yeah.
So when we talk about powers and principalities and the Elohim and the sons of God, who are these forces?
Yeah.
Who are, like, literally, who are the players?
Yeah. So basically, we have in the unseen realm Yahweh, Elohim, only God. We don't believe in henotheism. Henotheism says there are multiple equal gods. We just happen to worship Yahweh. No. There's one true and living God, Yahweh. We do believe that he did create other supernatural entities according to Psalm 82. When he assigned these entities over nations and cities and principalities, he rebukes them because they begin to abuse the people under their charge. And we talked about that. Kill their babies, mutilate their bodies, engage in deviant sexuality. And so now we actually have these, some are higher level than others, some are lower levels, but we do have demonic supernatural entities interfering with the history of mankind. And let me give you some examples of what they'll do. So we have entities that will interfere with mankind and bring on new religions. We have this with Joseph Smith. He saw, it's interesting. Have you read this in Galatians 1? Paul says, if a human being or even an angel presents a gospel other than the one I presented, he said, let him go to hell. Really is what he says. Let him be accursed. Let him go to hell. And so it's interesting how many false religions were started by angels.
Absolutely.
Isn't that interesting? So Paul says, watch out for angels with other messages. You have Moroni coming to Joseph Smith, and that's how Mormonism gets started.
Yeah, we say that. We're talking about fallen angels,
yes,
demonic activity, which is not a very user-friendly thing to say.
Yeah.
That Muhammad in the desert was not visited by the angel Gabriel. Nope. You know who started Islam? Satan did.
Right. Right.
You want to know who started Mormonism? Satan did.
Yep.
You want to know who started Hinduism? Satan did. All the false religions are all demonic.
And you know, it's interesting as well. So those are high macro levels. They're actually small. Look, you're going to laugh at me. And I love Carlos Santana. I think he's great. But, you know, Carlos Santana has said he gets a lot of his inspiration by sitting at the fire and listening to an angel that visits him named Metatron. You can look this up, M-E-T-A-T-R-O-N. And so do I think the guy's gifted and talented? Absolutely. But when I hear a Carlos Santana song, it gives me a little bit of the weebies because I think, okay, was he inspired by this angel Metatron that he talks about? So in macro,
well, when you sing about a black magic woman, perhaps you were.
Absolutely, man. No, seriously. So it's very interesting. But we do believe. Now, I'll say this, Steve. And this is not popular, but do Black Lives Matter? Absolutely. And I'm not going to qualify that with all lives matter. No, Black Lives Matter, period. The organization, Lives Matter, you go to the website. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. That is demonic in origin.
Absolutely.
We're elevating transgenderism. We're elevating homosexuality.
Destroying the family.
Destroying patriarchy.
To get the man out of there. You don't need. And all the things that really are causing that the epicenter of a lot of the challenges for the African-American community are the very things that they're against.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So get the men out of the home. Don't have that nuclear family. You don't need that stuff.
So people totally say, well, demonic. You're a Pentecostalism. You see a demon behind every tree. No, I see two demons behind every tree, man. I just believe that the enemy is interfering through his emissaries a lot more than we realize. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul goes so far as to call Satan the god, little g, of this world.
Yeah, that's right.
You think about that, man. Jesus calls him the prince of the power of the air. So we are not coming against flesh and blood. And Paul makes it very clear in the book of Ephesians. He says, look, you can get mad at Trump. You can get mad at Pelosi. You can get mad at Schumer. We wrestle not against flesh and blood.
That's
and
right.
There's a guy named William Gurnall. He was a Puritan writer. And I love what Gurnall said. He said, if you're in battle and a cavalry enemy comes against you, he said, you don't get mad at the horse. You get mad at the person who's riding that horse.
That's right.
And he says, we're in a spiritual warfare. He said, don't get mad at humans. Get mad at the demonic entities who are using these humans to advance the cause of the evil one. And that actually helps me. A lot of times when I get mad at I get mad at Pelosi. How can somebody be for the but wait, it's just the enemy that's using her.
Yeah.
Why I get mad at her? It's the enemy that's
now,
using
I don't
her.
Remove, neither does Jesus remove personal responsibility.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
She's not a puppet.
Yeah.
So she's a co-collaborator.
So let me give you an analogy on that
one. Some people are more puppets.
Yeah, no.
She's a willful collaborator.
Let me give you an analogy. Because people say, well, no, so we're not responsible. It's Satan that's behind everything. It's a bad analogy, but I'm going to use it. So every time a man abuses his wife, physically abuses his wife, if you ask him, why did you do this? He'll say something like this. Well, she was nagging me. She wouldn't let it go. She kept going on and on and on. And so I hit her. Now, we don't say to a guy like that, okay, well, that makes sense. I understand. You had she may have nagged you. She may have pushed you. But you're the one that did this thing.
That's right.
Man. And so Satan may be nagging folks like this. He may be pushing people like Pelosi or whoever. Or Trump, I'm an equal opportunity offender, whoever it is. He may be pushing. But at some point, a human being makes a decision.
That's right.
And so you can't absolve people of human responsibility because of the demonic.
I can put a gun in your hand, but you're going to have to pull the trigger.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
right,
that's
right.
A great point. So so we see him in, because I'm comfortable saying every false religion, which is all of them except
absolutely.
Biblical Christianity,
absolutely.
Are all demonically inspired and demonically managed, if you will.
Yeah.
Because they have limited power, but they have power
in
the earth. Okay, that's just the deal. Then you have the angelic side, non-fallen angels. So what's their role in all of this? Because we know the demonic side. Then we're going to talk about politics and social systems and geographically as well, which I hadn't thought about before. But what's the role of the angels in this whole mess?
Yeah. You know, the word angel, angelos, means messenger. It takes maybe physical messages from the Lord. Jesus is in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. When the temptation is over, it says angels came and ministered to him. I look at angels not as being internal, giving me messages or whatever.
Yeah.
I believe they're more external, maybe holding back demonic forces. We see this in Daniel chapter 10 where there's a wrestling match going on in
I would have come to you sooner.
Absolutely.
Except I had a little problem.
I think so. They can minister to us. They comfort us. But here's the interesting thing. we never turn our attention to these good angels and honor the good angels.
Right, that's right.
If a good angel is doing their job, they're pointing people to Jesus. It would be like my wife getting an Amazon.com package and falling in love with the Amazon delivery guy. The guy, no, my job is just to give the package and then to leave.
Right.
Angels' jobs are to provide whatever it is the Lord wants us to provide and or provide for us, and then the focus is still on Jesus Christ. But I do believe in angelic principalities as well.
Yeah, and I think if that veil were pulled back and we were to see all of the activity, all of the darkness activity, the spiritual activity, I think we would be paralyzed. Just like you see when anybody has any kind of interaction with an angel.
Yeah.
The first thing the angel has to say is, fear not.
Yeah, exactly.
Because everybody flips.
But you know, Steve, it's interesting. If you look at the 2 Kings 6, Elisha. Yeah. Now, it's interesting on the electromagnetic scale. I'll show this to the church every now and then. I'll put up a picture of the electromagnetic scale. It's wide. Visible light, what you can see, is just a tiny
little
portion
part
on the electromagnetic scale. I happen to believe that a lot of these forces and a lot of this stuff that we're talking about is happening out here on the electromagnetic scale.
Whoa,
sorry about that.
He's getting excited.
I get it. We can see that much, but what's going on
is
out
that
here,
much.
Man? Yeah.
Yeah, so powerful. And it's helpful to remember that. And you brought this up earlier, which is, I think, is such an important application point, is I can get way more mad than the next person on political issues. Pelosi, Kamala Harris, Kamala, if you're the current Democrat Party nominee, you can mispronounce her name. Even sometimes with Trump, with Fauci, with all kinds of things. And I have to remember that there are other things going on, other motivating factors, other powerful factors. And we really only have one enemy. And my enemy isn't a Democrat. My enemy isn't Nancy Pelosi. My enemy isn't Pope Fauci. Yeah. My enemy is Satan.
Yeah.
And his forces. That's it. That's my only real enemy.
Yeah. Yeah. But Steve, I believe this. As we get closer and closer to the end times, Satan can read the times better than we can. I wonder if it's almost like an animal that's getting cornered. If he's starting to lash out in ways he's not lashed out before. You know, CNN, UK Telegraph, a lot of mainstream outlets did stories a little while back on a prominent New York psychiatrist named Dr. Richard Gallagher. He's on the staff at Columbia University, New York Medical School. Yale guy, Princeton guy, Oxford guy, brilliant man. And he said, as a psychiatrist, I'm starting to deal with things more and more on an increasing level that I can only chalk up to demons and supernatural. And he said, I didn't see this years ago when
he
I started.
He has no clinical earthly explanation.
Absolutely. And this has got, let's see, I got his stuff down here. Yeah, he is a Yale University, Princeton PhD. He's a bona fide psychiatrist. And he says, I'm seeing things like people coming in. I start asking them questions. And he said, I've seen people start talking in ancient Greek, which I studied. I know. They've never studied it before. He said, I've seen a lady who was 90 pounds throw a 200-pound man across the room. He said, that's not natural. And so it's interesting how even skeptics who don't come from a Christian worldview are seeing a rise in this demonic stuff.
Yeah, because if it ain't natural for the Harvard PhD, then you only have one other option, and that would be supernatural, which is exactly what we're talking about today on Theology Thursday. Pastor Chad Harvey, RFA Church here in Raleigh. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Back to Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with Pastor Chad Harvey, RFA Church here in Raleigh, rfachurch.org. And if you've ever wondered if there's anybody louder on the air than me, it's you.
Steve, I'm not making this up. I'm actually trying to scale back a little bit, man. I'm like, I can't be too loud, and you're saying
you're dropping it down. Well, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, I appreciate Chad and I have been friends since about 2005 or 2006.
Yeah,
so we've
yeah.
known each other for a long time. He's the one that at one point called me O Troubler of Israel. I will I'll let you guys in on a little secret. So this was one of the first times I heard you preach at RFA back at the old location. You were doing a series on David. And that Sunday morning, you were preaching on David and Bathsheba. And you got in the pulpit. See if you remember this. And you said, okay, I've already put my email on forward because I know I'm going to get all kinds of stuff from it. Now, I'm going to make sure, I'm just going to redefine, just so everybody understands, what adultery is, especially if you Clinton voters. Do you remember saying that?
I never said that. I deny that. I don't remember that. You're making that up, man.
But the thing I love about Pastor Chad, and if you've ever been to his church, you know this. Chad, is not fearful of man. He's not even fearful of his church. He's only fearful of the Lord. And so he preaches that way, which I appreciate. Right out of the scriptures, but it's Chad's a guy that's not afraid of his congregation. He only fears the Lord. And we need more of that in America and the American church, not less. So thank you for that and for your boldness, and I certainly appreciate that. But the last message was talking about principalities and powers, Elohim, the sons of God. So we've been working through that on today's show, and we want to finish on a positive point. All right, so we'll get there before we finish this segment and finish the show, because it can be overwhelming and a little bit scary and intimidating. But what about just kind of world systems, like governmentally, socialism? You mentioned geographically before, so kind of help us understand that.
Yeah, so, you know, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. There's another kingdom at work, and the Bible calls that the cosmos. And so the cosmos or world, the world system, there is an underground dark system, a spiritual system that is antithetical to the kingdom of God. So really, you have two kingdoms in this world. You have the kingdom of God, and you have what the Bible calls the cosmos, the world, the system. And Satan is the god, little g, of this cosmos system. And so Satan is highly organized. I believe what he has said is, okay, this demonic entity is going to be over San Francisco. I'm placing this entity over New Orleans. I'm putting this entity over India. And actually, we see this in, I think it's Mark chapter 5, where Jesus goes to cast the demons out of a man that has multiple demons. And you remember they say to him, Jesus, don't make us leave this territory, this area. I wonder if what they're saying is we have been assigned this territory. And so I just believe that there is a supernaturally precise system that Satan is operating. Look, he's a lot of things, but he's not sloppy.
Yeah.
And so
he
is the God, of this world, I think he has this system in place. And in fact, as you look at what Paul says to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 6, when he talks about principalities, powers, some scholars have looked at this and they've said what he's talking about is higher level to lower level positions. And so
highly organized.
We want to be careful, though, because I don't want us to get so fixated with that we lose our sight of Jesus and
That's who Jesus is.
Right.
Amen.
But the reality is there is a highly organized, highly precise system that is antithetical to the things of God. And it's manifesting in things like Antifa. And again, I hate to keep bashing the Black Lives Matter thing. Look, I have had to fight the race battle myself. I've been fired from two churches because I stood up for African Americans. Mm-hmm. Two churches I've been fired from. So I'm just saying I know that stuff is real. But Antifa, for example, what are they doing? They're committing acts of lawlessness. Do you know that the coming world leader is called multiple times in the Bible the man of lawlessness? So Satan's coming world representative is called the man of lawlessness. We're seeing that Antifa.
Yeah, and they're not shy about dressing up in black as well.
Right.
So you got black. And you see, when you think about geographically, that's why you see something different in San Francisco, or in this case, Portland and Seattle, than you do in other parts of the country.
Hey.
In Chicago, it's violence.
Yep.
It's black-on-black violence mostly. But in San Francisco, it's a different thing. In Portland, it's a different thing. Then you got Washington, D.C., which probably has got 20 or 30,000 demons in that one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a central power.
So look, when I say San Francisco, the average person thinks homosexuality, because I think that there's some type of demonic entity that's his deal. When I say Las Vegas, what do you think?
Oh,
gambling.
Sex and gambling.
So I just think that there is a different demonic principality over that city.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when Darl and I love history. If you're part of the New Orleans City of Commerce, I'm sorry. But years ago, we were driving into New Orleans to actually attend the Southern Baptist Convention. And when we drove through the city limits, and this is before I went to the Pentecostal, I was still a Baptist, but we drove through. And my wife, who is very level-headed, looked at me and she said, "Did you feel that?"
Mm.
And I looked at her and I said, "Yeah, I did." We could feel a change in the spiritual atmosphere when we entered the city limits of that city.
Clearly, yeah. And then and so we're talking about America, but this is around the world.
Absolutely.
You see this in Russia. You see it in India. You see it in China. You see it in Cuba. This is obviously happening all around the world.
All around the world. And in fact, we support missionaries in, I'm going to be very careful here, we support missionaries in Islamic majority countries in the Middle East, okay? Can I say that? Every time Ramadan comes around, our missionaries, and they said this is not just Assemblies of God Pentecostal. We've found this with Baptist, Methodist missionaries. When Ramadan comes around and you are a missionary in one of these countries, inevitably you will wake up at least once, sometimes multiple times in Ramadan, feeling that somebody is choking you.
Whoa.
I had this missionary say, wow. I just woke up, man, and I couldn't catch my breath. And he said, all I did is just say the name Jesus. And when I did, whatever was choking me went
see
away.
See you later.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, really amazing. Super powerful. And that's why when we look at that, like globalism, I did the show the other day on the Great Reset, Davos, the World Economic Forum, and they're talking about resetting everything.
Yes.
And a one-world government and all that. Remember, when Barack Obama in 2007, 2008 went to Germany, this was during the general election, he went to Germany and 200,000 people came out to see him.
Mm.
He hadn't won the presidency yet. We are scrambling, desiring a one-person solution. Who's going to come in and
absolutely
fix it all?
Hey,
Gordon, we're geared for worship.
Yes, sir. When the COVID thing first started hitting, did you know Gordon Brown, former prime minister of the UK, Gordon Brown said, what we need right now is a temporary world leader to help us through this crisis. Isn't that interesting?
And so, it's not going to be that difficult. I mean, my appreciation of the man of lawlessness and the tribulation is growing by the day.
Yeah.
Because you think, you go back 12 months ago, one of my students, I started teaching a couple classes today, and one of my students said, could you imagine, maybe it was Seth that said this, could you imagine what we would have thought if we had seen a picture of this class today 12 months ago?
Mm.
I've got the shield on my face. Everybody else is wearing masks. It's just crazy, preposterous. But the absolute majority of Americans, at first, kind-hearted, neighborly, okay. But now it's just fear.
Yes.
Fear of castigation, like we talked to Pastor Rob McCoy earlier, and just bow down and go along with it.
Yeah.
And there are spiritual forces involved with that to drive us all to the preparation for the man of lawlessness. I think it's obvious.
Absolutely.
And I'm a Southern Baptist.
Right.
All right, let's the positive side, because this can be very intimidating. It's scary. It should. I think it was C.S. Lewis that was talking about the problem that we have with Satan is either you think too little of him or you think too much about him.
Right.
So you got to keep him in his place. He is limited, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But what's the positive side of this? How do we remember that we're more than just conquerors?
Okay, so this is Theology Thursday, so let me throw a little bit of the theology out. There are several theories as to what exactly happened at the cross of Jesus Christ. The one that we're most familiar with is the penal substitutionary atonement, that Jesus died for our sins, and that is true. He did die for our sins. One of the oldest theories of the atonement is something called Christus Victor, that at the cross, Jesus destroyed the works of Satan. He defeated Satan. And in fact, the most quoted passage from the Old Testament in the New Testament is Psalm 110. Most people don't realize that. When we say, okay, what did the New Testament writers, what did they quote from the Old Testament the most? It's Psalm 110. And Psalm 110 1 says this. Listen to this. Psalm 110 1. The Lord, that's Yahweh, said to my Lord, Jesus, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Over and over and over, the writers of the New Testament are obsessed with that verse. That's that Christus Victor thing. Did Jesus die for our sin at the cross? Absolutely. But they also said something significant happened. Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. And so Paul says this in Ephesians 1. He says God made Jesus to sit at his right hand and placed all of his enemies under his feet. And then in chapter 2, he says, and you're sitting right next to the Lord Jesus Christ.
So
implication, his enemies, Satan, demons, principalities, are now under our feet as well. Now, I go along with what Jude says in Jude 1. I'm very careful when I deal with satanic stuff. I don't like to be cavalier. But you also have to have this inner sense of greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world.
Yeah, and then again, as you watch the news, like several people today on Facebook Live have mentioned, are you going to say anything about the peace accord? So here's the headline. Netanyahu hails Israel-United Arab Emirates deal as greatest advancement toward peace in two decades. Mm-hmm. And instead they go, okay, well, we're dealing with Israel, and we're dealing with the Middle East, United Arab Emirates, not as hardcore Muslim in its governance as other countries, but it's still Muslim. And instead they go, okay, what's going on there? Is that the Lord that's behind that, or are those dark spiritual forces? And so, again, I'm not going to dive into that because I haven't studied it enough, but we have to realize that that's happening all over the place, even in individual things. Here's another one. Like, I just saw this. This is so typical. Mask mandate. Biden calls, listen to this, for requiring all Americans to wear masks outdoors for at least the next 3 months.
Wow. See, that's what we're talking about,
man.
That's
what we're talking about.
Yeah. And so in the old days, well, one day the government will require us to take chips or take a mark.
Right,
we're like, that's crazy. That's not going to happen. Man, this is just a precursor. I got to say this real quick.
Yeah.
Irwin McManus had a son that was scared, had fear issues, went to church camp, came back more fearful because he said, now my son learned about demons. So he said, before I went, tucked him in, kissed him goodnight, he said, Dad, please pray that God will make me safe. And he said, I'm not going to pray that God will make you safe. I'm going to pray that God will make you dangerous, so dangerous that when you walk into a room, the demons run away.
Amen.
And that's my prayer for the body of Christ.
Amen.
Make us so dangerous that Satan and the demons will flee.
Yeah, and that's right. And a little reminder, if you're not on Satan's radar screen, you're not doing it right.
Amen.
You got to be on his radar screen because you're working to advance the kingdom of God. Pastor Chad Harvey, always great to have you. Thanks so much
Thanks,
for being here
Appreciate
today.
It, man.
You're welcome. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be back tomorrow. Plenty to talk about. God willing, I'll talk to you then. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.